Doug and Wolf here on Arizona Sports 620, and this is really nice. Head coach Ken Wisenhunt getting a little bit of a break in his offseason and helping out the community by supporting the Waste Management Phoenix Open. And then he was nice enough to say, sure, I'll let Doug and Wolf bug me for the day when I'm trying to enjoy a day off. Coach, how are you doing?
Good. It must be a slow day for you guys, and you're trying to fill it up, so you got me roped into this, huh?
Yeah. Wiz, thank you so much for joining us, man. How was the Senior Bowl?
It was good. It was good. It was the best weather ever. It was good weather for a change, as opposed to sitting there freezing your tail off. But, you know, it was good. I got a chance to see some of these players and start to get acquainted with them and what they can do. And now it kind of piques your interest as far as going in and looking at some tape of them and kind of stacking them up or lining them up as how you think they're going to fall.
Wiz, as a former player, and I do mean former, you know, I look at the Senior Bowl and I've always seen it through the eyes of fascination. Like, you know, what really goes on there? You know, because I've got this vision that not only are you guys being productive on the field watching these players, but then of course all the coaching moves and being able to talk to some of your colleagues off the field. Is it more productive, the Senior Bowl, for you personally, on the field watching the kids, or off the field talking with some of your peers?
You know what, Wolf, I think that the combine is more of an opportunity to talk with my peers than it is more so at the Senior Bowl. At the Senior Bowl, we're usually sitting with the scouts because they have an idea of these guys. They've been studying them, and they're the ones that are giving us the tips and the insight as to which ones are players. And you're watching these guys do the drills. You know, that's one of the most valuable things that you get a chance to do is some of the NFL drills. They're coached by NFL staffs from the AFC and the NFC, and you're getting a chance to see them put them through the drills, and you're getting to see them compete in one-on-ones, whether it's pass rush, whether it's pass catching and defending, and then doing the drills that you normally see. When you go watch a college practice or, you know, they're not doing those kind of drills. Or when you do the combine, you're not getting to see them do it in pads. So
Right. It's
really a unique opportunity to assess these players in a competitive situation doing things that you're used to seeing. So, you know, that's the value of it. I know that there's a lot of things going on there. There's a lot of guys there that are looking for jobs, that are trying to network. But in that environment, we usually come in, we go together, sit as a group, and so there's not a lot of interaction with other coaches. You may catch them between practices and talk to them and just say hello, but not something, you know, at the combine, really most of the staffs are settled by then, and
Yeah. You
have an idea of who is where, and then you get a chance to catch up and talk about football with them.
In a day and age where offensive play callers sometimes are covering up their faces to not have their lips read, how secretive are you at the Senior Bowl? I mean, is it when you're gathered around the scouts, do you have your own little area of the stadium? Do you talk really loud to confuse another team that's next by?
You know what? I think at this point, it really doesn't matter. There's not a strategy involved with that. You know, you're just trying to get an assessment of the personnel that you see on the field. And that's, you know, everybody's trying to do the same thing. So it's really kind of a laid-back environment. It's really a great chance for us to see some of these college guys for the first time. And we would go in there, and you don't really know anybody on those rosters except for a couple that you've heard about, you know, from watching Saturday afternoon games or hearing about the hype about them. So this is a chance to see them do something. So it's really kind of a laid back type of deal from that standpoint.
We're talking to the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, Ken Wisenhunt, here on the Doug and Wolf Show. Wiz, what do you enjoy more? Do you enjoy the combine more than you do the Senior Bowl, or vice versa?
Well, I enjoy the combine better because, you know, we're not working. When I do go to the Senior Bowl, I always feel guilty because I feel like I should still be playing because games are still going on. So I don't enjoy it as much from that standpoint. In fact, we were talking about that because usually if you make it to the championship game or late in the playoffs, you won't be able to go to the Senior Bowl just because, you know, you're having your end-of-the-year meetings with your players and those kind of things if you're not in the Super Bowl. So that's what's always gets to me going to the Senior Bowl.
Talking to head coach Ken Wisenhunt, nice enough to join Doug and Wolf today. Media day was today for the Super Bowl. When you're the head coach of a Super Bowl team, do you say anything to the guys in preparation of media day? Or do you feel like we spent enough time getting you guys ready to handle media and you don't really have to say anything?
I think it's really important that you say things to your guys that whole 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, especially because most of the time you'll have a few guys that haven't been before, and the expectations are not knowing what to expect is pretty intense. So, you know, we made sure that we did that. I was fortunate enough to have been before, and, you know, it's almost like, okay, this is what you can expect. This is what you have to be careful about. When we went to the Super Bowl when I was with the Steelers, you know, it was back when we played Seattle, and Joey Porter came out on media day and said some things about their tight end, and it created a big controversy that week, things that can take your focus off actually playing in the game. So, you know, that's one of the things that you want to talk about with your guys. I mean, it's always – somebody's always looking for a player to say something at media day, which they can make a story, and you have to make sure whether it's at media day, whether it's at the opportunities with the press during the week, because there's a lot of obligations that you have to do during that week which are out of the norm for a normal week of football, because there is so much attention to that game.
Wiz, speaking of stories, do you have any media day stories, any media day memories when you were there for Super Bowl 43, like the worst question you were asked? Do you have any memories or impressions from that day?
You know, I don't have any. I know that there's always a lot of questions that are asked that you just kind of go, what? But I don't remember any specific ones. I remember somebody, and maybe you guys remember this, there was somebody there making players, trying to get players to dance. There was some obscure media person there that was trying to get our players to dance on camera. And I think I remember Alan Branch doing it and a couple of other guys. And I was just thinking, what does this have to do with the Super Bowl, you know, and playing in a game? But that's the way it is with these events.
So I have to ask you, because there's always this guy, Wiz, with a puppet, you know, the puppet on the hand. They always, and he talks to you, and he wants you to talk to the puppet. Wiz, would you talk to the puppet if you had a guy there trying to get you to talk to the puppet?
Well, you know what? I would say probably not. I mean, in that type of environment, I would say I would just either ignore the guy or just say I'm not going to do that.
Ken Wisenhunt agreed to join us under the guise that he would have the toughest interview he's ever had in the history of being a head football coach, and we're talking to him about puppets this afternoon on Doug and Wolf here on Arizona Sports 620. When you look at the game from an X's and O's standpoint, what intrigues you about Super Bowl 46?
Well, I think that one of the things that really intrigues me is the Giants and how they got in there. You know, what it seems like over the last couple of years is the teams that have gotten on the runs late in the year, like we got on the run in the playoffs in 08, like the Steelers did in 05 when they had to win five at the end of the year to get into the playoffs and then won the Super Bowl. That's kind of what the Giants have done. They were a team, you know, if you think about it, 8 weeks ago, everybody had written them off. They were awful and they weren't very good. And then they got on a stretch where they won some games they had to win to get into the playoffs, and then they've played well. And those are the type of things that generally carry over very well to that game, because you know, it is a break, that 2 week break before, and it is about being able to go in confident, understanding what you're doing, knowing that you can handle any type of adversity, because that's what they've done. So, you know, they're playing with a lot of confidence right now. They're a good football team, but whenever you go against a team like New England that has been there a number of times, that has a quarterback like Tom Brady, you know, you always got to make sure that you account for that. So I think it's an exciting game, because not only is it two teams that are playing very well, but you know, you add to it the drama from the 07 game and everything that was involved with that, and I think it just even hypes it up a little bit more.
We're talking to Ken Wisenhunt here on the Doug and Wolf Show. Coach, you know, you've had an opportunity now to evaluate your season, and I know you've already been through the self-scouting process, correct?
Yes.
What did you learn, Coach, about your team, and where do you guys need to improve?
Well, you know, Wolf, we haven't finished the self-scouting process. We've gone through and given an evaluation of where we thought our players were at the end of the season. But, you know, now we're going to settle in over the next month and a half and start looking at our cut-ups. And then when we get to the end of that, we'll evaluate our players again. And that'll still give us plenty of time to make decisions on players as far as free agency or what we're going to do in that direction. You know, I think the thing that we learned about our football team from sitting here a couple weeks after the season is that our guys never gave up. They believed in what we were doing. And I think that anytime you have a team that if you can find ways to win in this league, that's really what it's all about. You know, and we were able to do that in 7 of our last 9 games. And the thing that really makes it more exciting for me, more impressive for me, is that it wasn't the start of a season. It was at a point where most people had written us off, being 1-6. And I think it goes back to not only your beliefs and how you do things, how you prepare, how you practice, but getting your players to believe that and execute it. And then it ultimately comes down to being able to make a play or two in a game that can turn the game around. And, you know, if you think about the number of different guys that did that for us, whether it was Patrick Peterson on a punt return, whether it was Beanie Wells on the big run against St. Louis, whether it was Larry Fitzgerald in some of those games at the end of the year, or Larod Stevens-Hallings, or early Doucette, or John Skelton, or Kevin Cobb in the playoff game. And you can see where I'm going with
this.
Yes. We had so many guys that were making plays for us. Darrell Washington comes to mind. Sam Acho with the sacks. You know, O'Brien Schofield against Cleveland with the big sack down there. If you just take a minute and think about all of the young players that were making some of these plays that were critical to us having success in these games, it really sets the table for the excitement of what we can do as we get together with an offseason and understanding, listen, guys, no matter what happens, we know we can win a game because we got enough different guys to believe in what we're doing and they can make these plays. So that's what I learned about our team. And you always strive to get your team to a mindset where they believe that. And, you know, what's really exciting is that we went through as tough a time as we possibly could, and we were still able to turn that around and get to that point. And that bodes well for us because we got so many guys that understand that now. And that going into next year, we're not going to have 51 new guys like we did this year. We're going to have a lot of the same guys that know that, and they're going to be in here in the offseason, and we're going to be working. So that's one of the things that really excites me the most about our team.
I know that you'd much rather tell the Waste Management Phoenix Open, no, you've got a Super Bowl to prepare for. But yep. when you don't make the Super Bowl, it's really great that you participate in this to help out the community. What do you love most about it?
Well, today we had an event where we putted with some Special Olympic athletes. And, you know, I think one of the things that really struck me was I think this is my third year of doing this. And, you know, those kids run up to you and they remember you and they're excited about this event. And they gave them a check today for $55,000.
Wow.
This is what the Thunderbirds did, which is, you know, I mean, to give Special Olympics $55,000 to have raised that. And they've raised $43 million they've raised for charities through this event. I mean, listen, this is a great community. Our fans and the people in this community have done a great job of sponsoring different events. But, you know, that golf tournament is a great way of and there's a lot of people that come through there, of raising money to help our community and help people that need it. And that's what it's all about. And if they, you know, ask me to participate in that in any way, I'm grateful to do it because it's such a great cause.
Wiz, thank you so much for your time today, man. And if you need any help at the combine, let me know, okay?
You know what? I might be able to get you to hold a dummy, Wolf.
There we go. You got John Lott's yelling at people. We got to get Wolf in there yelling at people, God, too.
I don't even want to think about that.
Thanks, Coach.
Ken. Appreciate
it. That was great. Ken Wizenut joining Doug and Wolf this afternoon, head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. And, yeah, certainly rather say no. Can't participate, got a Super Bowl to do, but he's when he's not in the Super Bowl, he's first in line to be part of the Waste Management
Phoenix. And I'm sure there's a lot of people right now wondering, why in the world didn't you ask him about Peyton Manning? I think it's pretty obvious, right?
Well, Coach would have two choices if we asked him about Peyton Manning. Choice number one would be I can't answer that question.
Exactly.
Or choice number two would be he could answer the question, tell us exactly what he thought about Peyton Manning, and then the league would fine him somewhere around $100,000, $150,000 for tampering with a player that's already under contract.
I believe the point is moot.